I talked with David Pierce at the VegFest in Brighton in March of 2012. Music by Idiotech. Interview copyright us at theveganoption.org. Shared under a Creative Commons Attribution License.
Hello, my name's David Pierce. I'm a transhumanist and a vegan. Now, it might seem a little ironic that I'm going to talk a little bit about in vitro meat, because I confess the very thought of meat makes me physically sick. But nonetheless, I think the issue of in vitro meat is really ethically very important, because it's the only realistic way we're going to be getting a cruelty-free world with any kind of acceptable time frame.
Okay. And so you just alluded to your opinion there, but what are your feelings about in vitro meat and why?
Ideally, I think everyone should go vegan today. And factory farming is the single greatest source of severe and readily avoidable suffering in the world. Unfortunately, as we know, it's almost impossible to argue against moral apathy, and there are a very large number of people who unfortunately are convinced that giving up meat or animal products would require some kind of heroic self-sacrifice on their part. And so what is the alternative? Yes, one can carry on plugging away at the arguments, but realistically, I think it might easily take hundreds of years for us to make the transition to a cruelty-free, a vegan world. On the other hand, if, and it's a big if, we can develop and commercialize in vitro meat, then there's the prospect of having, before the mid-century, possibly within the next two decades or so, a global conversion to a vegan, or technically an in vitrotarian lifestyle. So yes, that in a nutshell, it's a twin track strategy, both continuing the ethical argument for humans to stop killing and abusing non-humans, but at the same time acknowledging that there are limitations to our powers of persuasion.
So let's say in 10 years you're at a party, this is sort of a thought experiment, and somebody offers you in vitro meat. What would you ask about it before you would eat it, if you would eat it?
Personally, I wouldn't eat the stuff, but that's because I'm a third generation vegetarian. Grandparents on all fours and all sides of the family vegetarian, and I've never actually tasted meat. I only became a vegan in adult life. So personally, I find it revolting, but in one sense this isn't the point. I know many people apparently find meat delightful and tasty, and yeah, from an ethical perspective, I would simply want to make sure that no cruelty or killing was involved in its production. Some people would probably recoil because they assume that in vitro meat involves something like genetic engineering. This is an actual misconception, although sure, it would in principle be possible to have genetically engineered in vitro meat, just as one can genetically enhance non-human animals. I mean, adding omega-3 fatty acids or something like that. But if the natural angle is important to you, then yes, in itself, in vitro meat is simply yes, it's going to be kind of muscle tissue, but not from a live animal, but grown, crudely speaking, in a vat.
Some vegans, like the Rational Vegan, who's written an anti-in vitro meat thing online, and Jeff Purs, who's also written on online, have been reading this anti-in vitro meat kinds of blogs and things, say that in vitro meat production causes the creation and vivisection of domestic animals for its development. Is this morally justified, do you think?
Yes, I think so. Life is messy, and if one actually looks at how in vitro meat is produced, then yes, there is the initial extraction of cells from a living non-human animal, but this needn't involve cruelty or abuse of any kind, since it can be done from a biopsy performed by, let's say, a veterinarian for a wholly legitimate medical purpose. I have some sympathy with the view that focus on in vitro meat is a distraction, that at some unconscious level it'll allow meat eaters to think, well, there isn't anything intrinsically wrong with eating meat, so I might as well wait a few years until in vitro meat products come on tap. But the actual business of its production, no, I would regard this as ultimately a non-argument, in the same way as, unless you're a Catholic who believes that a soul is implanted in a zygote at conception or something like that, it becomes quite theological. There's no killing, there's no cruelty or abuse involved in it on the production of in vitro meat. Certainly there needn't be at any rate.
So there's skepticism. So Jeff Burr's also said if plant-based substitutes, substrates or scaffolding, as you know, there has to be substrates for the meat to be grown in, are not found. So if these plant-based substrates or scaffolding are not found to be the most efficient or effective, do you still think that in vitro meat will move towards a zero-suffering model?
Yes, I think so. It is a technical problem with a technical solution. There are still, unfortunately, technical problems to be overcome. It's going to be quite straightforward to mass produce in vitro mincemeat quality artificial meat, but to get gourmet steaks, so to speak, of a cultured meat quality may well take, I fear, another couple of decades, even, to be pessimistic. That's because you need somehow to have the right perfusion of the growing tissue. You need to somehow get the muscle fibers stretched. There are technical issues there.
What I'm saying specifically is, like, so it would cost producers of, like, egg-laying hens, for example, maybe pennies per egg in order to let hens out of battery cages. And yet they don't do that because it's slightly cheaper to keep hens in battery cages. If it's slightly cheaper to use an animal-based substrate, why would they move towards a model which was all plant-based if they needn't?
Yes, that is a difficult issue, which is why I think at the same time as campaigning for the development and commercialization of in vitro meat, one has to be pressing the issue, pressing the moral issue too. Although this might sound naive, though, I just think that other things being equal, if consumers are presented with two options, one that doesn't involve cruelty or killing, the other that does, most people, other things being equal, will go for the cruelty-free option. Okay, it may only, yeah, they might not pay more than a few extra pence, but nonetheless, ultimately, most people are not malevolent. Most people think of themselves as animal lovers, ironically. So, yes, it's a combination, I think, of driving home this ethical issue and the way non-human animals are treated, together with these high-tech solutions that I hope are actually going to deliver.
In a world in which veganism is possible, does supporting in vitro meat production condone the suffering of the animals that began the process?
Could you hold it by the body and say that again?
Okay. In a world in which veganism is possible, does supporting its production, the production of in vitro meat, condone the suffering of the animals that began the process?
I think one needs to explore the implications of the word condone there. I confess I take a completely pragmatic line that, given the production and commercialization of in vitro meat is likely to save tens, possibly hundreds of billions of lives and untold suffering, that the actual question of whether in some sense it condones the original process is academic. I mean, clearly, as I said, I would strenuously urge everyone today to go vegan and adopt a cruelty-free vegan lifestyle. But yeah, it's not a matter of pure philosophizing. It's working out what is actually going to be most effective.
One of my cat's hairs is on the mic there. You have said that in the future, eating meat off the backs of animals will be as morally reprehensible as cannibalism, that in vitro meat is going to be the standard. What evidence, what makes you think that that's actually going to happen in the future?
Well, there's quite a lot of evidence that much of what we think of as morality is actually based in our, a lot of the time, in our sense of disgust. And I think when most people explore the notion of the actual origin of the food in their on their plate, many people are actually quite disgusted. And once they discover they can eat delicious, cruelty-free food that doesn't have these ethical implications, I think, yes, there will very rapidly be a transition to the cruelty-free option. And just as now we look at cannibals as barbarians and savages, and even though it seems to have been quite common in human history, in rare cases today when there is cannibalism, we have this sense of revulsion. I suspect people who eat meat today, in some cases in later life, will look back with revulsion as they tuck into their in vitro gourmet steaks, probably quite self-righteous too. And once it actually reaches the stage where most people eat in vitro meat, I see traditional forms of animal, so-called animal husbandry and factory farming and slaughterhouses is actually being criminalised, which is what we should be aiming for as rapidly as possible.
My friend Jeff Zick, who's the big fan of yours, had a question for me to ask you, which is, I think, very funny and very interesting. So if I can get it to load up. I should have just taken a picture of it. Hold on.
Well, while that's loading, could you repeat... While that's loading, could you repeat that last answer? Because there was a bit of a cable...
repeat the whole last answer.
Wow. Okay.
I can't... it may not be verbatim, but...
Of course it won't be verbatim.
You have said that in the future, eating meat off the backs of animals will be as morally reprehensible as cannibalism. What evidence do you have to support this claim?
Well, if you actually look at the conditions under which meat is produced today, they are pretty frightful. Most people choose not to. But once people have the opportunity to eat whatever meat products they like without killing or abusing non-human animals, I think most people will probably become very self-righteous about the fact that they eat the humane, civilized option. Today we look back on cannibalism, which seems to have been quite widespread in human history as not really immoral but disgusting, I think the same reaction will be elicited in the treatment of non-human animals up to the 21st century.
Okay, so my friend Jeff says, in vitro meat questions. Should we be using human tissue cells to grow vat meat instead of pigs? Would this help people make the connection that flesh in general comes from sentient beings? Would the added vat cannibal controversy help gain attention to this food source? Would it inspire cannibal killings? And would that cause useful disgust reactions and further highlight the moral problems of eating farmed animals' flesh?
Well, in some ways, that is a light-hearted question that makes a very serious point. Yes, in some sense, I do feel it is akin to cannibalism, which is why I would not personally eat in vitro meat. Curiously, New Harvest, which is an organisation set up expressly to promote in vitro eat, apparently the most common question they are asked is, would it be possible to produce human tissue that way? Now, whether this really indicates the latent cannibal market is as large as this sample suggests is debatable. But nonetheless, from a purely scientific and culinary point of view, yes, it is perfectly possible to produce human flesh. And from an ethical perspective, I can't say in principle I have any deep objections. This isn't about thought crimes or anything like that. It's about saving and protecting life and preventing suffering on an unimaginable scale as now.
That's all I have.
I have just one question. I just thought it would be interesting for you to speak a little bit, a sentence or two, about what being a transhumanist means to you.
Yeah.
Transhumanism is a movement that seeks to overcome biological limitations via technical means. This has many strands. It involves the development of radical anti-aging technologies, the use of intelligence amplification, and also, and this is my particular focus of interest, the use of biotechnology to phase out the biology of suffering, not just in human beings, but ultimately in non-human animals too. Now, when one first comes across an idea like this, it will seem, most people, extremely far-fetched. But nonetheless, it is technically feasible. Just to give one example, within the next decade or so, each of us will probably have a readout of our own DNA. This will enable us, amongst other things, to choose the genetic makeup of our future children, particular genes promoting, let's say, depression or anxiety and the like. Will we choose benign variants or variants that promote well-being? And so there is most likely going to be strong selection pressure against many of our nastier genes today. But as I said, that is simply one aspect of transhumanism. Other currents involve, let's say, computing and the notion that we are heading for a technological singularity owing to the exponential growth of computer power, to the idea that is probably associated particularly with Aubrey de Gay, but other researchers, that there is no reason ultimately for organic robots like us to grow old and die, that it will be possible perhaps within our lifetime, but certainly later this century, to actually phase out the aging process itself.